For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So today we combine our Stewardship Sunday with the Feast of Christ the King, and we have a little protocol that we've established in our parish where, after the final hymn, we'll fill out a commitment card, and right now Vernon is handing those out, so make sure to get one. We'll say a little prayer, fill the card out, and then come to the front after a genuflection, place the card in the offering plate, and then exit out the east end of the building. And again, it's a way that we can make an offering to God in the company of the others in our church, and we make it an act of worship. So we are very graced in this church with an ethos of generosity, and that goes right back to the beginning and formation of our parish, which was established just over 24 years ago in the summer of 1997. Now, I had the great opportunity to come serve this parish at its beginning stages, and I'd like to share with you some of the stories from the beginning of our church. We had, as our senior warden, Walt McGinnis, who was a very, kind of shoot from the hip, direct style businessman. And he said, as we were getting ready to, launch a fundraiser for the capital campaign for the building of the church, he said, what we really are going to need is an icebreaker gift. I said, what's an icebreaker gift? He said, well, it's all in the name. You need someone to give a gift that will break the ice and others will follow. So we were trying to raise about $1 million to buy the land and build the church. And so he had an idea for who would be the perfect one to ask for that icebreaker gift. And it was a man by the name of Dill Dilletich. Now, Dill and his wife Louise lived in Carefree. He had made some money in the stock market and was a philanthropist. He liked to give money. And he'd helped out with the Foothills Community Foundation, Music Fest, and other works. So Walt made an appointment with him to go to dinner in Flagstaff. And so Walt and Dorothy drove up in probably August of 97. And they picked up Dill and his wife Louise. Louise was a cradle-born Episcopalian, but they didn't go to church much. Christmas and Easter, maybe. And but she had been in the Episcopal Church. That was enough of Italian for the Anglican way. And so Dill sat in front, Louise was in back with Walt's wife Dorothy. As soon as the car door shut, Walt turned to Dill and he said, Dill, we're gonna build a church. Christ the Episcopal Church was the name of that. We're going to build a church in Carefree. We'd like you to give the icebreaker gift of $60,000. Awkward silence. And then Dill turned to Walt and said, No, I'm not going to support a church project. Awkward silence. And then from the back of the car, Louise's voice, Dill, you're being too hard. Another silence. Dill turns to Walt and says, okay, well, I'll give the $60,000. Now let's go to dinner. That's what broke the ice. After that, people were like, oh, the Dilletich are in. Well, we're going to follow. And indeed they did. And we had an outpouring of generosity that was just a God-given. It was, first a handful, then 10 and dozens that were giving. And not long after, we were going to build the hall. And over the space of 3 years, we raised $2 million. And it was the outpouring of generosity. It allows us, in our time, 24 years after the start of our parish, to be the beneficiaries of that kind of largesse. And we really are graced by that kind of generosity. It wasn't long after that dinner with the Dilletich family that Walt had a conversation with a land developer he knew in Carefree, Greg Schubert. And he walked into Greg's office and he said, Greg, I know you have that property down at Cave Creek in New River, and we'd like to build a church there. And we'd like to buy that property. And Greg was like, no can do. It's already plotted out for houses. And if you want to know what this corner of Cave Creek in New River was going to look like according to his plans, and his development office, it would look exactly like across the street to the north, that corner of Cave Creek and New River Road. One house per 43,000 square feet, R1 35,000 square feet. So, you know, little just houses on this property. And it was all plotted out, and so Greg said no. And Walt said, well, thanks for thinking about it. And then he left. The next morning, the phone rings at 7 o'clock. Walt picks up. Walt, this is Greg. I couldn't sleep last night. I can't say no to a church. You can buy the property, going rates 50K an acre, 4.3 acres. So I'll tell you what, you put $500 down, that'll put the land in escrow. And have you ever heard of that before? $500 down. $500 will put it in escrow. If you can get a special use permit, you can buy it for 50K an acre. So that's how we got the 4.3 acres of land from Greg Schubert, and that grace was given. So again, these generous hearts opened the way for the furtherance of the spread of the kingdom of Christ, and we are the beneficiaries of that kind of generosity. We also see that continue in the life of our church, even this morning, where we see the gift of Joyce, who left the church in her will, and now we have that beautiful baptismal basin and window, and the kindness of Perry and Kim to give a piano in loving memory of Kim's mother. And this is, again, we see that ethos of generosity in our parish. Now, some of you may have been disappointed in the gifts that you've given to churches. And I remember talking to one person who was such a man. He talked to me over a coffee and lamented that his family had been donors to a church that sadly, by the drift of a mainline denomination, became a church he couldn't recognize anymore. And it's as if the church was taken away from his family. Now, they'd been building that church for a number of years. In fact, the first gifts given in his family for that church were 2 centuries ago. So his great-grandparents were buried in the churchyard, and his grandparents had given some of the stained glass windows. And now, in his time, all that he had given and sacrificed for that church, it wasn't a place that he could go anymore, really felt comfortable anymore. So he was grieving this. And I said a word of consolation to him that I think applies for all of us, and that is that when we give of what God has given to us, he's inviting us to participate in this work of redemption that he is doing now in all the world. When we give for the spread of his kingdom, he empowers us by the gifts he's given us, then we are empowered by his love to have open-handed generosity. When we give, that is simply the means to an end. What we give and what becomes of that money is going to be transitory just by the nature of how the material world is at this point in time. There is no church that's going to survive the coming fire. And we're looking forward to Advent, where we contemplate the coming of Christ. When he comes again, it'll be a cataclysmic disruption. St. Peter says the very elements of the earth will melt as God refashions and recreates the earth to a new heavens and a new earth. And this church will not survive that coming fire. We'll survive in Christ as members of the body of Christ and look to our glorious resurrection in him by his indestructible life, power. But these things, they will pass away. So what does last? I said to this man, of all the gifts that your family has given, sure, there may be a change and there may be decay in how those gifts were stewarded, but the act of their giving is an action of love, and that does not go away. I think every time that we give with the motive of love for the spread of his kingdom, for the spread of Christ's kingdom, that brings us a treasure in heaven. It's love that will last the coming fire. That will survive. And when we give, what we give away in this life, that becomes a treasure in heaven. I think that allows us, something that remains, something that can never be taken away. So I gave that word of consolation to him. Of all that your family gave, those gifts are treasures in heaven that nobody can tarnish. There is no rust or moth that can corrupt that. There's no thief that can steal it. Those things are secure. So let's think on these things as we wrestle with God over what he would have us give back to him for the spread of his kingdom. It's the same challenge that I've put to myself. We're in this together. What you give to this church and for the work of this parish is not between you and me. It's between you and God. And I have the same conversation that I have to enter into to be faithful what he has entrusted to me. So as you're thinking about that, as you fill out the commitment card, remember those who have gone before us in the life of this parish, who have been so demonstrable in their generosity. Maybe you can hear the words of Louise speaking to Dill, "You're being too hard." That may be our conscience speaking, "You're being too hard." Maybe it's, Mr. Schubert saying to Walt, "I can't say no to a church." And maybe in your own heart you have to hear, "I can't say no to God." Or maybe you're hesitating because you're not sure of how that gift will eventually be stewarded. But let us take consolation that our action toward God, our love for him, motivated by the Holy Spirit, brings a treasure in heaven that is for everlasting. So may God bless all of us with generous hearts, and in our time, may we give with a generosity that fulfills the command of Christ, who in the Sermon on the Mount says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye measure with, it shall be measured to you again." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.